a rearrangement of the next several items. The next item, I understand, is going to be the operating budget, the 2015 operating budget request. This is a briefing, and then we'll follow up with the legislative proposals and the capital budget. Right? Correct? Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, my name is Owen Rowe. I'm the department's budget officer, here to provide a brief overview of our operating budget submittal to the Governor's Budget Office and the legislature. So your role today, basically just to listen to me, provide a brief overview of the proposals. Any clarification of proposals is needed. I'm here this morning and on a daily basis at the department. Provide initial commission feedback, and then we're preparing for our August 15th commission conference call with decisions on requests to move forward, and there may be a need for a conference call on the 22nd as well. Well, that's yet to be determined. So here's the 2015 legislative session timeline. So just about 6 weeks from today, our operating and capital budget requests are due to the Governor's Budget Office so that he and his staff can begin to work on his budget proposals to the legislature. We'll work closely with them and our legislative staff to provide additional information on these budget requests as they begin their budget development. Mid-December, the Governor releases both his operating and capital budget proposals, and legislative session begins in early January. Mid-February, we've got a quarterly revenue forecast, which the House and Senate budget writers will use to write their budget proposals. We'll probably see those a couple of weeks after that revenue forecast in late February or early March. And then the end of the 105-day regular legislative sessions in April 26, 2015, it remains to be seen if we go into special session. It will likely be a very difficult session on the budget front, which I'll get into in a couple of slides. And July 1st, 2015 is the start of the next biennium. So it's been an especially complex budget environment that we're in right now, and it's been rather difficult to develop this year's operating budget submittal for a variety of reasons. We've got another projected state general fund shortfall, which is as bad as we've seen from the beginning of the Great Recession. Governor's office is currently projecting that at about $2 to $3 billion shortfall. We're experiencing federal budget reductions that are expected to affect commercial, tribal, and recreational fishing opportunities. And both of these challenges are on top of a major loss of general fund capacity we're continuing to manage since the 2009 legislative session. We lost about almost $50 million about 6 years ago. So even with state general fund revenues beginning to rebound after the recession, again, the governor's office is projecting up to a $3 billion state general fund shortfall. And it's driven primarily by the McCleary Supreme Court case, which said that state spending on education was deemed inadequate and the legislature needed to come up with additional state dollars to support K-12 education. We're continuing to see inflationary costs in delivering government services outpacing revenue. And the state spending limit from Initiative 601 will likely need to be addressed as well if the legislature is going to address the McCleary and other inflationary issues. And the State General Fund problem is projected to worsen in future biennia. I borrowed the next couple of slides from the Governor's Office of Financial Management. This was a presentation that the Director of OFM made to Cabinet agencies. And it just does a nice job of outlining, while we've got the state has additional $2.4 billion in revenue, that revenue is being outpaced by the inflationary costs I described, primarily being driven by low-income health care, K-12 education, mental health services, pension costs, debt service, employee health care, and then to the far right there, that's the $1.5 billion to $2 billion requirement that to fully fund K-12 as per the state Supreme Court's finding. Two-thirds of the budget is tied to constitutional and federal requirements. The governor's office regards that bottom part of that pie chart as protected, very difficult to remove any state funding from there without running into penalties. So the majority of the cuts will be focused on the unprotected version of the state budget, of which we are part of, under that 6.5% slice of pie called other. And all of the natural resources compose only about 2% of that 6.5%. So, as a result of the projected budget shortfall, state agencies are required to submit 15% state general fund reduction options. For us, that's close to $11 million in the next two-year budget cycle. We have gone through similar exercises in the 2012 supplemental and also 2013. We fared well. The legislature and the governor's office recognize that the investment in general fund in the agency supports the state's economy, and we averted serious budget reductions. So our budget submittal to OFM and the legislature will be a little strange this year because they're going to include both requests for new funding and also options for reducing our budget. So we will be submitting two budget requests. One is our 2015 supplemental, which is our last opportunity to make changes to the current biennium. And then also our 2015 budget requests for the next 2 years beginning July 1st. And there's two types of budget requests. There's maintenance level budget requests, which are requests to basically maintain current service levels, those caused by inflation and other emergent issues, and performance level requests, which are requests to begin new programs or activities. So let's move on to the maintenance level requests. We've got a package basically to maintain technology access. We've seen increased costs as far as our Microsoft licenses go, email storage, and also our network connectivity to the state network. Wild transaction fee, technical adjustment there. For every license document sold through our automated licensing system, there's a 10% transaction fee that's assessed. That's to support our vendor network and also our licensing system. We've seen increased sales there, so we need additional resources to meet those obligations. LNI rate technical adjustment is basically just to align our budget with how we currently pay that bill. Hatchery utilities, we've seen an increase there. We'll be requesting some funding to meet those. Fish food costs continue to increase, and that's primarily due to commodities that make up fish food, primarily soybeans and fish meal. Wildfire costs, obviously we've had a horrible wildfire season this year, and those costs will continue to grow, and we will be monitoring those closely as we work with the legislature on a final number for those costs. And those also include restoration costs on the lands that we manage. Legal services adjustment, this is just an increase in costs for the Attorney General's office. Has nothing to do with more attorneys. It's just the Attorney General has raised rates for the existing attorneys that we're using. And then Pilton assessments. Many people are familiar with the fact that our PILT payments, or our payments in lieu of taxes, have been frozen since the 2009 session. And we're looking to make full payments to counties as required by law beginning in the 15-17 biennium. And then we've got a couple of emergent issues, which we've got a request to basically spend down some fund balance in our Puget Sound Regional Fisheries Enhancement Account to increase some recreational opportunities in the Puget Sound for salmon and other ground fishing. And then also we need an inflationary adjustment in our trailers that we bring out to hatcheries to mass mark or adipose clip all the coho and chinook that we produce in hatcheries. Looking for a dollar increase an hour for our staff there, as well as increases in some of our equipment that we use to do that work. Our performance level requests, again, these are requests above and beyond current service levels. Our current recreational licensing system needs some enhancements in order to improve the customer experience and the vendor experience, so we're going to invest some available fund balance from the transaction fee in that system. We've finally, over a two-year period working with the Office of Financial Management, have secured a new location for our Southwest Regional Office. We're looking for an adjustment to make those lease rate payments there. Fish and Wildlife radio over internet, it's been an excellent technology for us. It's been a low-cost technology for our staff and enforcement officers to communicate in rural areas of the state, so we're looking to enhance the use of that technology. We continue to have illegal marijuana grows on our wildlife lands through water diversion. We're having issues with water diversion, also the use of pesticides and rodenticides. We're looking for some additional dollars for some officer overtime there to be able to stop those grows and to do some enhancement on those areas to mitigate the damage there. And then we've got another request on our PILT or assessment fund sources. Due to a variety of budget cuts that I alluded to, the wildlife program has been using some of their federal and other private local contract sources to pay for county assessments. We believe that to be a state obligation. We'll be requesting general fund state to make those county assessments, and then we would like to thereby freeing up resources to do a better job managing our lands. Under new investments, we'd like to continue to study why juvenile steelhead in Puget Sound are not being successful. We've seen a fairly precipitous decline in their populations, and we'd like to find out why. Tracking Puget Sound fish health, again, we've got a program in place where we're looking at toxins in salmon and other forage fish populations. I'd like to make an enhancement in that program as well, looking to secure some funding from the state toxics account there. Look under Lower Columbia hatchery production, looking to enhance commercial fishing opportunities in the Lower Columbia area, basically through increased production of coho and chinook in the Cathlamet net pens in order to keep some of the commercial fishing off the main stem of the Columbia, enhancing the commercial opportunities while also protecting ESA-listed species. And then we continue to have issues with elk hoof disease or hoof rot in the southwest portion of the state. I'd like to continue to study that issue to see what we can do about mitigating that as well. There's other requests out there. I know you've heard from the regional fisheries enhancement groups this morning. They're also looking at declines in funding. And then also we've been notified by the Department of Health that there's a need for additional funding to support testing and monitoring of shellfish for biotoxins and also for monitoring of harmful algal blooms. To the 15% reduction options, general fund state reduction options, again, this is an exercise that's been put upon us by the governor's office, and most other state agencies are participating in this. Our reduction target is approximately $11 million for the 15-17 biennium. And we're looking at where we're spending general fund state and the agency. And those, you know, a 15% reduction to our general fund is going to have serious impacts on the agency. As you can see here, we've got a reduction of enforcement officers, about 8 officers there, a reduction in HPA permitting. That program is still supported, at least partially, by the state general fund. If that reduction is taken, we'd see increased permitting timelines. More general permits, less individual assistance to folks that are working on hydraulic projects around water. A reduction in payments in lieu of taxes to counties, similar to what the legislature has put in play over the past couple of biennia. Hatchery reductions and closures, primarily looking at where the general fund supports our hatcheries. Those tend to be hatcheries that support commercial tribal fishing, and salmon production. There's a closure of commercial salmon fisheries in Puget Sound, a closure of salmon fisheries in Grays Harbor and Willapa Bay, a reduction in Puget Sound shellfish fisheries impacting primarily sea urchin cucumber fisheries and some clam and oyster harvest as well. We're still working on reaching that $11 million target, and we've got about $720,000 to go. So it's been rather difficult for us, as you can well imagine, to come up with these options. Pretty confident that these types of activities helps us support the state's economy, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and I believe that will translate also to the governor's office and the legislature. So we're hoping to avoid taking any of these reductions. And then finally, we've also got some revenue legislation with budget impacts under consideration. I want to just make clear here that this has nothing to do with our 15% reduction options. Those are complete separate issues. And I know that Director Anderson and our Legislative Affairs Director, Ann Larson, will cover these in more detail in a few moments. That concludes my presentation.
Oh, great. Thank you. Very clear, sharp, concise.
Thank you.
Any questions? Commissioner Mencken?
Yes, good presentation, Owen, as usual. I'd be interested to know how the department has picked the reductions in hatchery production and closures. I mean, what has been the strategy in picking those specific hatcheries for reductions or closures?
I think we're still looking at the specifics, but primarily what we're looking at is where do the general funds support commercial fisheries that aren't backed by recreation, you know, where the general fund supports commercial fisheries, primarily because we don't want to have an impact to our recreational license holders because they're already paying for that opportunity through user fees. And then also looking at areas where we not, you know, taking hatcheries off the table where there's been a recent major investment in capital improvements on some of those facilities through the Jobs Now Act that the legislature passed a couple of years ago. And then also those hatcheries that aren't potentially in line with our broodstock management plans.
Director Anderson, do you have a comment?
Owen covered that pretty well. I would say that we've gone through an extensive evaluation of our hatcheries, the production, the contribution from that production to Washington State fisheries, and we've looked at funding sources for those facilities as another criteria as to whether or not, if we were to have to make the kinds of cuts that are being requested of us, and if those were approved by the legislature, where would those cuts be made with the least impact? And that's not to say there isn't a lot of impact and negativity associated with reducing the kinds of hatchery production that's in this proposal. But remembering that from a state general fund perspective, we are spending our state general fund in some finite categories, from hatchery production to fish management to enforcement, native fish recovery, and habitat, particularly in our HPA program. So those, the areas where we are spending our focus, the expenditures of our state general fund, is where we looked in terms of meeting the governor's requirements of achieving a 15% reduction, which is something in the neighborhood of $11 million for us. But if we had a facility, it was 100% general fund, there was minimal, minimal compared to others' facilities in terms of the benefits that came to the citizens of the state of Washington from that production. That was certainly a key consideration in looking at the hatcheries and we're still looking at those closely, and that's why we didn't identify the hatcheries specifically in the presentation here this morning. And hatchery surplus, the other piece is hatchery surplus. Where do we have facilities that maybe because of ESA constraints, we're not able to access the production, and so we have lots of hatchery surplus, and so does that make sense to make that kind of an investment in that production?
Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just trying to understand. I'm just questioning on this, on number two there. Is steelhead belong in that comment?
As it's been explained to me, yes, I believe so, but I think Director Anderson will have some more to say on the first two items there.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Commissioner Kehoe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, I think everybody knew this was coming. Director Anderson has forewarned us about this, and but certainly there was some shock value, a tremendous amount of shock in actually seeing this. And I'm going to mention specifically the proposal to close commercial salmon fisheries in Puget Sound. And you mentioned the value to the state. Right now, today, we are prosecuting a non-treaty commercial fishery in the San Juans and Point Roberts area, very lucrative fishery. And under current projections in terms of what the non-treaty catch would be in this fishery, I mean, we're looking at a value paid to fishermen of about $8.5 million. And then so you kind of multiply that, the common industry practice in terms of valuing the true value of that product, just the product itself, is three times that. So we're talking $25 million. And that doesn't even include the hundreds of people that are employed right now in Whatcom County to process those fish that are coming in. And so, I mean, it's devastating, and I think I would urge the department to kind of go back and look. I mean, I understand this is a very difficult process, but I just want to put that on the table in terms of value.
Director Anderson?
If you're looking for us to tell you that these cuts make sense from an economic perspective, you're not going to hear us say that. We know that the cuts that are on this are in this package in many cases have a cost-benefit ratio, a positive cost-benefit ratio to the state. But the fact of the matter is that when we look at an $11 million cut in general fund, there are some finite areas for us to look for those cuts. And if the commission says, well, gee, that $500,000 that you have on the table that would be saved in general fund from closing Puget Sound commercial salmon fisheries, go find something else. You need to give us some more guidance on where you want us to go find something else, because a $500,000 is two enforcement officers. A $500,000 is another hatchery. A $500,000 is probably another five people associated with HPA. I'm asking, don't just tell us to go find something else. We've given you the information about where we spend general fund, and out of those categories, instead of cutting something that you object to, then tell us where you want us to go look, because this is not, I mean, there isn't some black box to go look and come up with another $500,000 from some other source. This doesn't, you look at the Puget Sound commercial salmon fishery, and as Commissioner Kehoe said, we have a big run of Fraser sockeye this year. It's going to be an extremely valuable fishery. We ought to be ensuring that Washington State participates in the harvest of those. You'll find no argument from us about that. But the problem is, when we're looking at this package and looking at the kind of cuts that we've been required to submit to the governor's office, where else do we go?
Well said. Those of us who've been on the commission for a while really understand.
And we're still $700,000 short of meeting our obligation in terms of
which,
so we have some more cuts to find.
A number,
I'm not trying to counter Commissioner Kehoe's remarks at all, but there's a bunch of stuff in this that does not make economic sense from a state perspective, and we know that.
Yes. Commissioner Schmitten?
Chair, I can wait if there's other comments on the fee issue. I mean, the issue that's been raised on the 15%. If not, I have new comments.
Okay.
Chair, I want to just now focus only on the operating budget, and I'll hold my comments if we have a discussion on the legislative package. First general comment is I think we're short-sighted to think that this problem is a one biennium problem. We need to be looking out two and perhaps even three biennium. Yes, the governor dictates, the governor's office dictates a certain percentage, and we need to think how we work our way through that, but I think it's short-sighted to not look further out. First comment is on from slide 10, and that's the maintenance level request. And the first point I'd make is on PILT. I actually think where we see it twice, in the first one is really maintaining the current level. That's the capped level. And I think where I like it is in the performance level, and it wasn't quite described as I'm going to say it. I think that's where we're saying we want to catch up. We want to pay 100% henceforth. That is a very good move in our relationship to our county and in the long-term ability to purchase lands. The other thing I liked in the maintenance program is I think you're right on target, enhancing Puget Sound recreational fisheries. The other geographic regions are being carried, for the most part, by robust Columbia River fish stocks. So that would be lower and middle Columbia River. The coastal is carried by those stocks. We really need to put an emphasis, and I think you've hit it right on, emerging issues. That's where our money should go. One addition in performance, now this is chart 11, in new investments, I sure would have liked to have seen something, and I know the answer may be, well, we're going to do that, is completion of HGMPs for hatcheries within this time frame, within this biennium. We've got to send a signal out to our public that we're going to get that job done, and new investment might have been a place to do it. On the 15% reduction, the way I had it noted is that this is sending a very strong negative signal to those affected. And probably the likelihood of the governor and the legislature accepting those are fairly remote. May accept some, but that whole package is a pretty negative signal. Can we do anything different? No. I agree with the debate on that, but that is a strong signal to the tribes and to the commercial industry. And Mike, I'll hold comments on the fees later.
Good. Director Anderson, did you want to reply?
On the issue of PILT, when Ann Larson comes up and describes our legislative package, she will include a more comprehensive discussion about PILT and our strategy there that will play into what your points were, Commissioner Schmitten.
Great. Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the comments by Commissioner Kehoe and certainly by Commissioner Schmitten as well as the director. I just want to talk just real briefly about budget overview. Before I got in business for myself some 30 years ago, I managed a couple 2,500 person companies manufacturing in California and Colorado, and I didn't know much about budgets back then. It was a little different. I was dealing with other people's money. But when I got into my own business, certainly not of that size of what I was managing previously, but I'm going to tell you, trying to ferret out the savings versus revenue, whether it's here at state government or in a small business, is probably the most daunting and painful task that I've ever been involved in. And I don't take it very lightly when you have to look at issues and you're going to cost somebody jobs or opportunity. It's a very, very painful thing. Having said that, we still have to do it and participate in it. And I just, for what that's worth, I wanted to say it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments on the operating budget? Okay. We have one more. Director Anderson.
I wanted to take a look at this slide that's up here and just talk a little bit about the fee package. that we'll be providing some more detail on in here in a few minutes, if I've got my wires straight. The comment about that Commissioner Schmitten made about Steelhead and HPAs getting our hatcheries properly permitted under the Endangered Species Act is a component of our fee package. We have done a pretty thorough evaluation of our ability to continue to provide the level of service, I'll call it service delivery, that we are currently providing. And that's everything from fish production to fish management to native fish recovery to habitat protection. I'm going to purposely leave out wildlife in this in my remarks here, because through our evaluation of our revenue sources versus our expenditures, our conclusion is that our current funding from various revenue sources are keeping pace with our expenditures associated with wildlife management and the suite of activities that the wildlife program does. So in term, when we're talking about a fee package, you will not see recommendations from us coming to the commission for increases in hunting licenses. So while I'm primarily speaking on the fish side of the activities associated with the agency and habitat, I didn't want you to think that we hadn't thoroughly looked at the wildlife piece as well. So in terms of our ability to continue to provide the same level of service in the wildlife management, hunting side, lands, that is we've done an evaluation of that. Where we have identified our shortfalls is primarily in the fish side of our activities, and that has come as a result of increased cost of doing our business. I mean, we know, for example, that fish food has increased in a significant way and continues to, because of the competition for the product that makes up fish food from particularly on the international scene. Maintaining what we're currently doing from that perspective, and then on the federal side, we've been alerting you over the course of the last year or more that we could foresee federal cuts in that would affect our ability to continue to provide the level of service and harvest opportunity. Those have manifested themselves in a couple of different places. Maybe the one that's the most pronounced up to this point is within Mitchell Act, our Mitchell Act funding. The cuts that have been made to Mitchell Act have impacted our agency at about a level of about, to this point, as about $800,000. And those cuts are all coming from our lower river hatcheries, our hatcheries below Bonneville Dam. And while we are able to kind of keep pace with our current level of production for this year, that will not be the case for next year and beyond. And we see the potential of additional cuts coming that will hit Mitchell Act production in the future. The other piece is where we have lost funding to support our sampling and monitoring, particularly of coastal recreational and commercial fisheries. While we're working hard through the Pacific Salmon Commission process to try to identify some some funds to backfill that loss. Those haven't come to fruition yet, and so we see the potential impacts from that. We also have our Pacific Coast Salmon Recovery Fund that we've talked a little bit about. When I talked with you several months ago, I thought that we might see a decrease in that in this coming year. I'm feeling better about that, that the, currently in the Senate and the House marks, we've got their mark is at a level where I'm not anticipating a significant cut to us. But so we've got the increased cost. We've got the federal reductions that we see. And so we put together a package that, for the most part, allows us to sustain our current activities, fill the gaps that we've identified either because of increased costs or loss of federal funds. And we have a couple of enhancements in it, and one would be in the Puget Sound hatchery component that Commissioner Schmitten highlighted is one enhancement, and you'll also see in a few minutes an idea about how we might put ourselves in a better position to provide adequate enforcement for commercial shellfish activities through the potential of an excise tax. But we also have, as part of our idea relative to our fee increase, the ability to add some fractions of enforcement effort in certain areas. One of the things that we've been talking about today and in the past is this idea, well, what about commercial fishing? And we've done a pretty thorough analysis of our recreational fishery, where the costs associated with providing recreational fisheries is on the order of $120 million. We've looked at the activities associated with commercial fishing. It's on the order of $44 million. Our fees from our recreational fishing licenses support about 37% of the amount of that expenditure to support the recreational, provide recreational fisheries. Federal funds, general funds are the other two primary sources. On the commercial side, you know that with an exception of a relatively small amount of their license fees, the balance of their license fee revenue goes to the treasurer. It doesn't come to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. So the money that we're getting from commercial license fees supports about 4% of our expenditures. We also have some, a significant amount of federal dollars that go toward that, something on the order of just under $20 million. Out of that, 44 is being used for is support commercial fisheries, and then general fund ALEA dollars makes up about $18 million. So a pretty significant chunk of our activities to support commercial fishing are coming from general fund. And the revenue that the department gets from commercial fishing activities is a very small fraction of what our expenditures are. So you're also going to see a proposal for some pretty substantial increases in commercial license fees that would put us in a position where we would be able to maintain commercial fisheries as we're doing today or close to it. And so that's an important piece. Again, when Ann gets to the legislative part of our presentation today, we'll be able to have some little bit more detailed discussion on some of those categories.
Thank you. Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Owen, could you put it on slide 13 for just a moment? I don't want to make this more difficult for anybody. But the bottom line, as I understand it, we're still $720,000 short of our requested donation to the cause. Is there a laundry list? Have you prepared? Do you have kind of a laundry list of where we're going to find that? Do you have any overview, or do I hand that one off to the director?
Unfortunately, no. There's no laundry list of reductions available. I mean, certainly we can examine where we spend general fund, and that's where we'll be looking. But you know, where you know what categories do we go further in? Basically, you know, this is a pretty good compendium of where general fund supports activities in the department. So you'll likely be seeing some similar types of issues.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Aren't you getting tired of these budget cuts?
Aren't we all? I mean, there's nothing worse being a budget director than having to cut budgets. Would much rather be building budgets than cutting them, for sure.
Couldn't agree more. Okay.